Let us just go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this evening that as we teach God's word, there is clarity, there is no confusion. God's word is taught with accuracy and in precision. We declare that there is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive God's word this evening. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, we will just continue along the line in which we started early this month. We are just trying to pay attention to, you know, the things of the Spirit in us. Yeah, so if you're with the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, it's a Bible study, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 12, rather. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. That has been, you know, a very key text to us in this series. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Yeah, we said over and over that if you have a good Bible, you will see the word gift is in italics. So the word is now concerning spirituals. Yeah, and the word spirituals is the word that is pneumaticos. Yeah, we said it over and over that is it is a word that deals with the things of the Spirit. So now concerning the things of the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you what? Ignorant. Yeah, the word there, ignorance, we looked at it as a word that means to shun knowledge or to be in the dark concerning a matter. You know, so it says concerning spirituals, I would not have you ignorant, you know. And he began to speak about differences of administration in verse 5. You know, verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in administration or of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So he has pointed your attention to verse 4 when he says the same Spirit, verse 5, the same Lord, verse 6, the same God. So same Spirit equal to same Lord is equal to same God. So the same God responsible for the operations is the same Lord responsible for the administration and the same Spirit responsible for diversities. And we said that in verse 7, it now says that, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without." Yeah, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. We said that that every man would not mean every man on earth, but the believer. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the believer to profit without. Yeah, it now says in verse 8, it now says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." So we see verse 4, same Spirit, verse 5, same Lord, verse 6, same God. Verse 8, it now says, same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit. It says, "To another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gift of healing." Now, we paid attention to the word "for to one," and we saw that the word there actually is the word that means indeed or certainly or truly. Yeah, the same word used in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 when it says, you know, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors and all of that. Yeah, so he says, "For to one is given." So Paul is not teaching that the Spirit gives to one man the word of knowledge and the same Spirit gives to another man the word of knowledge. Yeah, the word therefore to one is a word that you can summarize as certainly, truly. So truly and certainly rather, one of the things that the Spirit gives is word of wisdom. Yeah, to another would mean another gift that the Spirit gives or another thing that the Spirit gives is the word of knowledge. Yeah, how do we know? Verse 11 tells you, he says, "All this worketh one that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." Yeah, the word there, "he will," is a single word in the Greek manuscript. Yeah, look at that verse again, verse 11. He says, "But all this worketh that one," yeah, "for all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man as he will." The word "as he will" is a single Greek word, baulomia, something B-O-U-L-O-M-I-A. And it's a word that means to will deliberately. Yeah, you know, it speaks with willingness as an affection. Yeah, so it is as he wills in reference to the man, not as the Spirit wills. Yet he already told you in verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer to profit without. So there's something that is given to every believer to profit without. So everything that Paul is teaching about, rather, in chapter 12, is that every believer can operate in these things. Why do you suppose so? Why? Because you've received the indwelling of the Spirit. Look at Romans 3. Look at Romans 6, 3. We looked at that a little on Wednesday. Look at Romans 6, verse 3. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized," the word they're baptized is to be identified, yeah, "baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Look at verse 11. He says, "Likewise, reckon ye also." Yeah, the word there, reckon, is the word we looked at on Wednesday, to be acknowledged, pay deliberate attention, accept, agree. Yeah, agree within yourself, agree in your mind. Yeah, "likewise, reckon ye also," or yourselves, "to be dead indeed unto sins." Now, look at this again. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have come alive unto God by the work of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. So our aliveness unto God is because of Jesus' aliveness. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 25. Look at Hebrews. Remember, he says, "Likewise, reckon ye also that ye are dead unto sins, but you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Look at verse 25. He says, Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." Who is the by him? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How do we know? Verse 24 tells you, "But this man," yeah, how do you know it is this man? Verse 22, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man," that's Jesus, "because he continued liveth, he had an unchangeable priesthood." So in the fact that he is alive, he has an unchangeable priesthood. He now says, "Wherefore?" Yeah, "wherefore," in the fact that he has an unchangeable priesthood, that is because he liveth forever, yeah, "he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever made it," or "he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Yeah, to make intercession for them, we explain in church to be that it is not that Jesus is kneeling down on one knee and begging the Father. In the market wants to go and blow the trumpet. In the market, "Please now, see my knees now. I'm Jesus, so I'm older than you. No. Yeah, he liveth forever is the intercession made forever. It is the intercession made for us. So the intercession that Jesus makes for us is in the fact that he is alive forever. So the fact that he is alive forever is the fact that we are alive unto God forever. Are we together? Look at 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer to profit." Every believer to profit. Every believer to profit. It has been given. It has been given. Why? Because the believer is now alive unto God. It means the believer has to acknowledge his being alive unto God. So you see a lot of believers today, "Why don't you speak in tongues?" "I'm waiting for God to give me the gift of tongues." No, it's not everybody. Paul tells you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with her. So whatever number you want to talk about, 5, 7, 6, 8, 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, they are given to every believer to profit with her. Now see what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, see verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, the word there unknown is in italics. Yeah, so he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. He says, verse 3, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Hold on. In verse 2, there's a speaking unto God. Yeah, we saw that for no man understandeth it, the word him is actually it. Yeah, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. Yeah, so what does that mean? When you pray in tongues, your faculty, your mind is not fruitful. Yeah, the minds of men around you are not fruitful. Yeah, there is no edification when you come and speak in tongues to a fellow brother. There is no exhortation when you come and speak to tongues to a fellow brother. There is no comfort when you come and speak to tongues to a fellow brother. But listen to this way: when you speak in tongues, you are speaking to the Father. He now says in verse 4, he that speaketh in tongues edifies himself. He that prophesied edified the church. So when you speak in tongues, you are edifying yourself. You bring edification to yourself. Yeah, you bring edification to yourself. The word there, edify, is the word that means to strengthen up or to build up. Yeah, Jude had a glimpse of that when he says, build up yourself, Jude 1:20. Build up yourself in the most holy faith by praying in other tongues, by praying in the Holy Ghost. So, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. When you prophesy, you edify the church. In edifying the church, you bring edification, exhortation, and comfort. Are we together? Yeah. Verse 5. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. Yeah, the word there rather is the word malon. Yeah, it's the word that means, you know, much more. Yeah. Let the end go when you come to the church of your tongues end at prophecy. Let me say better. Let your tongues end as prophecy when you come among saints. Yeah, so see what it says in verse 39, where we are going to look at verse 39. We're going to pay attention to chapter 14 as a whole. You know, we've done it already in the last 2 or 3 meetings, but one with a lot of things we deliberately skipped just for the sake of, you know, foundational knowledge. Look at verse 39 of 1 Corinthians 14. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. See what it says there. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Hold on. He that prophesied in verse 3 and verse 4 edifieth the church. He that prophesieth bringeth edification, exhortation, and comfort. So he says, covet to prophesy. He says, wherefore, brethren. The word there, brethren, is the Greek word adelphos. Yeah, adelphos just is a word that means of the same kind, of the same origin, of the same source. There is a commonality. You are of the same nation, God's nation. You are God's heritage, born of the Spirit. You are alive unto God. So, wherefore, brethren, a good way to read 1 Corinthians 14:39 can be, wherefore, into bracket, those of you that are alive unto God through Jesus Christ, their Lord, our Lord. Yeah? So, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Brethren, that means speaking to a people that have the same common or the same origin, the same nationality, people that are born of God, people that are born of the Spirit. Yeah, the word there, covet, is the word zelo, the word foundational word for the word you call zealous. Yeah, it's a word that means to burn with a zeal or to desire earnestly. Yeah, look at it. Wherefore, those of you that are alive unto God, that is brethren, 1 Corinthians 14:39, covet, be desirous or desire earnestly, zealously sought after prophecy. Why? Because at the end of the day, when you prophesy in the church, you bring what? Edification, exhortation, comfort. So, in the things of the Spirit, we are permitted to be covetous. Let's assume that covet will be foundational for covetous. Yeah? The only one time we are permitted to be covetous is in things of the Spirit. What does that mean? Yeah, what is covetousness? When you see, so when you have something, or you have something, yet look at someone who has more than you, and you desire it. You see, that's the word covet. Yeah? Desire earnestly. Yeah, so it is a good thing to see a fellow brother like you operate in the gift of the Spirit and be covetous about his operation. Yeah, I'll say it better. It is godly. Yeah, Paul tells you it is godly. Covet it. Yeah, So when you see a brother, a fellow brother, now when I say brother, I'm using it as figurative for both male and female. Yeah, the word adelphos, when it says wherefore brethren, Paul is not talking to the men in Corinth alone. Brethren adelphos is a word that will be used to anchor. Yeah, Paul tells in Galatians, they say there's neither Greek, neither Jew, neither male, neither female. We are one in Christ, as many of us as have put on Christ. Yeah, so when Paul says, wherefore, brethren, he says, wherefore, into bracket, all of you, no matter the gender, who are alive unto God through the work of Jesus, he says, covet, be zealous. Yeah, have an attitude of covetousness. So when you see a brother speak in tongues, and you speak in tongues, okay, you say, that's fine, that's fine, that's okay. Then when you see a brother interpret in tongues, but you don't interpret in tongues, what do you say? That's fine, yeah, but I desire that. Yeah, I desire that. Yeah, I can have it. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Wherefore, look at it again, 1 Corinthians 14. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. That means there's a probability or there's a way that people can forbid to speak in tongues. Yeah, the forbid really there will just mean not to allow. Yeah, yeah. So it means that there's a way people, either in their knowledge, in their understanding, can forbid to speak in tongues. Can, you know, the word they forbid, yeah, it means to hinder, to prevent, to withhold. Yeah, he says, do not withhold speaking in tongues. Yeah, he says, the word forbid, you know, is a word you can say to deny or to refuse one a thing or to refuse oneself of a thing. Yeah, so he says, do not deny yourselves of speaking in tongues. Who is he speaking about? Brethren. In the real sense, convert to what? Prophesy. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16. Look at Mark's gospel, chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 15. Beautiful, that's fine, it's clear. Yeah, Mark 16, verse 15. So what it says there? It says, look at Mark 16, verse 15. It says, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What's the instruction? Preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What did Paul say? We have come alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does it mean to come alive? It means to have believed the gospel. What did he call it? To have been baptized, that is to identify with the resurrection. Yeah, so he that believeth, that is baptized, shall be saved. Yeah, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17. Carefully look at verse 17. And these signs shall follow. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Yeah, so it means that tongues is a what? A sign that is found in the reality of he that believeth. So there are those who will believe, there are those who will not believe. To them that believe, this sign shall follow. They shall speak with new tongues. Yeah, to them that are alive, there's a sign, you shall speak with new tongues. To them that are born of God, there's a sign, you shall speak with new tongues. To them that are baptized, there's a sign, you shall speak with new tongues. So Romans tells us that we have identified with his death and his resurrection. Mark now tells you, from the mouth of Jesus, he says what? There is something called new tongues for brethren. Who are the brethren? Those of the same source, those of the same origin, those of the same father, those of the same kingdom, those of the same nation, those of the same heritage, those with the same inheritance, those that are in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. So Paul now says, go back to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul now says in 39, he says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. That means do not allow it. Yeah. Don't forbid it. Don't forbid. Don't disallow it. Give it express. Let it flow. Yeah. Like we said on Wednesday. Yeah, it's like having a house where you have, you know, water supply. Yeah, the water board supplies water to your building, to all the taps in your house. But you have to go there to turn the switch. You have to go there to flip the switch before water can flow. But the fact that you don't switch the flip doesn't change the fact that water doesn't want to flow. Water wants to flow. Paul says, forbid not that water from flowing. Really, that's it. Forbid not to speak in tongues is forbid not that water from. So don't disallow that water from flowing. Don't deny that water from flowing. It is to flow. It wants to flow. It wants to rush out. Yeah, Paul says, forbid not it. Yeah, forbid not to speak. Yeah, covet, zealous, be zealous about prophecy. Desire to see it flow. Look forward to see it flow. Hallelujah. So every believer is like that tap that already has water, but he has to be the one to flip the switch. He has to be the one to turn the mouth. He has to be the one to change, you know, the valve. He has to be the one to switch the valve, to allow water to flow. So he says, desire to see it flow. Desire to see it flow. Every believer, irrespective of your denomination, you have the what? Indwelling of the Spirit. You have water supplied to your house. Yeah, you have water supplied to your house. All you need to do is what? Covet. Forbid not. So every believer speaks in tongues, but not every believer speaks in tongues. So look at Acts 2. We saw that on Wednesday. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2, 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Yeah, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jew, devout men out of every nation under the heavens. Now see what Peter did to explain that. Now remember, we established how many people spoke in tongues in Acts 2, 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, 15, 13 shows us that there were 120 people that were tarrying in prayer. Yeah, so when the day of Pentecost came, there were at least 120 people that spoke in other tongues. Yeah, what did the people say? They said, see verse 11. The first group of people said what? We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Verse 12, another group of people. And they were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? And that group of people, others mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. So there were four categories of people on this day of Pentecost. Those that spoke in tongues in Acts 2:4, those that said, this is the wonderful works of God they are hearing, verse 11. Those that were asking in doubt, what does this mean, verse 12. Those that were mocking, they are full of new wine, verse 13. So there are four groups of people where people come together. So it is you that will choose what category you want to fall under. Do you want to fall under those that participated in Acts 2:4, or those that are mocking, or those that are asking in doubt, or those that are what? Saying saying what they are hearing, or just narrating their experience. Yeah, what did Peter do? Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Hearken to my words, for these are not drunk men, as you are seeing it is just the third hour of the day. But this that you see is that. Yeah, so this that you see is that which was spoken by the mouth of prophet Joel. What did he say? It shall come to pass. So what Joel said shall come to pass, the 120 people on the day of Pentecost that spoke in tongues brought a fulfillment to it. Or we see that as the manifestation of what Joel said shall come to pass. Yeah, altogether. So what did Joel say? By utterance said the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaid, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall what? Prophesy. Now, for Peter to explain tongues interpretation, what happened? He went to Joel. Yeah, he went to explain. So it means that, like we said over and over again, in between, or Genesis rather, to Malachi, is sufficient enough for us to teach tongues and interpretation. It's sufficient enough for us to teach all that will believe and saints. Jesus took them back to what? Genesis to Malachi. Peter took them back to where? Joel, in between Genesis and Malachi. Yeah, we saw Paul. We're going to see Paul again and pay attention to Paul more today. So, what did he start doing? He started explaining the resurrection. How do we know? Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Yeah, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Yeah, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass. So, who do you suppose is saying it shall come to pass? Yeah, it will be the same Joel that Peter is teaching from. So it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hold on. In Mark 16, what was the instruction? Go and preach the gospel. Hold on. Acts 1:8, what was the instruction? You shall be, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. Yeah, and shall be witnesses upon of me in Judea, Jerusalem, and the uttermost part of the earth. Right? Hold on. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, Great Commission. In Acts 1:40, what were they doing? They were praying. In Acts 2:1, what happened? The day of Pentecost was fully come, 6 a.m. Hold on. In Acts 2:4, what were they doing? They were speaking in tongues. By extension, we know that they interpreted their tongues. In Acts 2:40, what did Peter do? He stood up to explain what was happening. Now, what was the end goal of Peter's explanation? It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you see that? Do you see that? Jesus said what? These signs shall follow them. Peter says what you see is a sign of salvation. Yeah, so look at it. Yeah. Jesus said what? These signs shall follow them that are alive unto God. These signs shall follow them that believe. Matthew's gospel. Mark 16 rather. Yeah. What is Peter saying? The sign that Jesus said shall follow, it shall come to pass, Joel said. Yeah. But in the real sense, there is a message that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does call upon the name of the Lord mean? It means to believe the gospel. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10 quickly. Go to Romans 10, 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Yeah, Romans 10. Yeah, Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, look at it, verse 14. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. What am I reading? Verse 14 rather. Yeah? Now, okay, hold on. Remember, okay, hold your hands in Romans 10 and go to Joel. Go to Joel quickly. Go to Joel. Joel chapter 2. Look at Joel 2:28. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Can you see? So it means that we're not talking from our head. Yeah, when we say it was in Joel, we see it is in Joel. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the stand upon the handsmen and everything. You know, verse 20, verse 30, I will show wonders in heaven and the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. Same thing we are reading in Acts 2. Yeah, this verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great day, great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, shall be delivered. Yeah, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. So, what is in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem? Mount Zion is God's nation, is God's kingdom. It is the kingdom of the resurrection. Yeah, which is, so when you see Mount Zion, it is figurative for what? The resurrection. When you see Jerusalem, it is the heavenly figurative, points to the heavenly Jerusalem. So, on in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, shall be deliverance. And the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call on. So, go back to Romans, look at Romans 10. So, Romans 10, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Where was Paul teaching from? Joel. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom that they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What did Jesus say? Go into the world and preach the gospel. Yeah, what was Joel teaching as the end goal of what tongues that happened in Acts 2? Whosoever call upon my name shall be saved. Verse 15, Romans 10, 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful. It starts talking from Isaiah 52. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. Yeah. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed. They have not all obeyed. What is all obeyed the gospel? To obey the gospel is to believe the gospel. If thou will be willing and obedient, thou shalt eat the good of the land. What is eating the good of the land? It is that meal you eat by obeying, which is by believing, which is what? The bread of life. That is what? The blood of Jesus. Yeah, that's the spirit. Look at 16. But they have not all obeyed, for Isaiah said, who had believed our reports. Who will believe our report? So, what was Peter saying in Acts chapter 2? What you see, just call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be a partaker. Yeah, for this you see, it is for those who call upon the name of the Lord and are delivered. Those who have now come to Mount Zion, the Jerusalem. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Look, go back to Acts 2. Acts 2. Look at Acts 2. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2, Acts 2, Acts 2, 20, 21. Yeah, we saw where Peter is quoting 21 from. We saw it is from Joel chapter 2. It shall come to pass was an utterance of Joel. Remember, when you read Joel chapter 2 verse 28 downwards, you see that Joel did not, what Joel said extensively, Peter did not say everything. After it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, Joel said shall be delivered. Yeah, he now says something. In Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be what? Deliverance. Are we together? Yeah, what is Peter saying? Peter is saying that which you see, that which you see. He has told them already in verse 16. This is that which was spoken. So this is that. What now, when he says this is that, where would their mind go? What was happening? Tongues interpretation. What is the end goal of tongues interpretation? The prophet already said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon my name of the name of the Lord shall be saved. What do you suppose? Tongues is a sign. So they onlookers, those are those three categories of people who were not partakers of Acts chapter 2 verse 4. They are called the onlookers. Yeah, onlookers, those that had doubt and those that mocked. Yeah, in the reason, what is Peter saying? If you shall call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. By being saved, you'll be a partaker of this you see. That which you see. Yet there might be go to now. What exactly is that? Remember, Jesus said, these signs shall follow. So it means that what they were seeing was signs. Remember that teaching on signs, the healing seminar we had. Yeah, what are signs? Signs are pointers to the reality. Signs point your attention to the reality. So tongues is a sign that should point the attention of people to the reality. That's why, in as much as Joel spoke about prophesy of the young daughter's dreams, visions, the end goal is what? You are going to be a partaker of this if you shall call upon the name of the Lord. Yeah, so whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be saved, shall be saved. By extension, there is an expression of that is what you see now. So the sign let me say it this way. Tongues as a sign is to point your attention to what? Call upon the name of the Lord. So what is Peter saying? What you are saying, just call upon the name of the Lord. You will be a partaker of it. Yeah, but how did Peter know? It had been prophesied by the lips of Joel. Hallelujah. It has been prophesied by the lips of Joel. Glory to God. Yeah, look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 4. Look at Hebrews 4. He says, verse 1, let us therefore fear. Remember, you must have read chapter 3. See chapter 3. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yeah? Verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? Yeah, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter into the rest because of unbelief. Chapter 4 now makes sense. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. Yeah, to come short of it will mean what? To not be a partaker of it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. So was the gospel preached unto them, the people that were in unbelief, that had evil out of unbelief? Yes. Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not what? Profit them. What did Paul tell us in Romans chapter 10? They did not obey. Yeah, you see that? They did not obey. Now, see what he now tells you. He said, verse 3, for we which are believed do enter into rest. Hold on. Who are those who are believed? They are those who call upon the name of the Lord. Who, what happens to them? They shall be delivered. What happens to them? They shall be saved. What happens to them? They are alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So it means that you can teach the resurrection as what? Come and enter into God's rest. So the gospel is that God raised Jesus. Yeah, believing the gospel is to be baptized. So to be baptized is what? Entering into God's rest. Look at it again. For we which are believed, we have entered into rest. Yeah, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the work. Yeah, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. So who started teaching about seventh day? Moses. Yeah, Moses. What did Moses say? On the seventh day, God rested. Was it God that rested, or man was to enter into God's rest? Look at it, verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day concerning this, on this wise. So, when you see, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work, it is that what? Unto you who have believed, do enter into his rest. Yeah, so we that have believed, we have entered into God's rest. We are partakers of his rest. So when reading Moses, you think that, God did, you know, one day God just did this thing. Second day, God did this thing. Third day, God made mango. Fourth day, God made the pawpaw. Fifth day, God made lion. Sixth day, number of man, God made man. Seventh day, God removed all his clothes, his workmanship clothes. And what did he do? He removed his clothes, he washed his jalamia, he washed slippers, he washed slides, and started strolling. No. Hebrews tells you, we which have believed do enter into rest. So it is God who supplies rest. So what is God's supply of rest to do? It is for man to believe. It is to the man that believes. So when a man believes the gospel, he has entered into God's rest. Yeah, Hebrews shows us God wants us to believe, or God wants us that believe to enter into rest. So when you say I am saved, you can say it's as good as saying I have entered into rest. Yeah, so if you have that form, you are filling a form for immigration or nursing or hospital or anything. They say, what is your religion? You just put in bracket, I have entered into rest. Yeah, really. Because I am saved is equal to I am a Christian that is born of God, that is a born again, that is a believer who is saved, who is baptized, who believes the gospel, who has entered into rest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Matthew's Gospel 11. Matthew's Gospel 11, 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. So, what does God have to give? It is rest. It is his rest. It is his rest. It is his rest. Yeah, Hebrews 4 tells us, for we that are believed do enter into his rest. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14 now. Let's play around a few things here. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Now, 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Verse 4, he that speaketh in... Now, see, that questions the mindset of people saying the Holy Spirit is supposed to talk for them. No, hold on. Go back to chapter 12. Remember, we explained this. Verse 7. Chapter 12, verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Every believer to profit without. How will the believer bring to profitability the manifestation of the Spirit? It is what? As he wills. Look at verse 11. Yeah, as he wills. Yeah, as he wills. But all this worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man as he is willing to. So it is the man that is willing, not the Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit has already been given by believing the gospel. See, the Spirit is proof that you're in rest. The Spirit is proof that you've received rest. The Spirit is proof that you've entered into God's rest. But there's a willingness that is of you that you have to will. So that's why you see in chapter 14. See chapter 14, verse 2. He that speaketh in tongues. He didn't say he that the Spirit speaketh for. Look at verse 3. He that prophesied. So who is to prophesy? You or the Spirit? It is you. It is you. It is you and I. Look at verse 4. He that speaketh. Look at verse 4 again. He that prophesied. Look at verse 5. I would that ye all speak. Yeah? For greater is he that prophesied. Yeah? Except he interprets, that the church may be edified. Look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you with tongues, what shall I profit you? Yeah? So remember, he told you it is to profit without in verse 7 of chapter 12. Yeah? If I come speaking with you, now, what will profitability be? He has told us in verse 3, edification, exhortation, and comfort. So, except I shall speak. Yeah? Paul did not say, except the Spirit speaks on my behalf. No. It is he that speaketh. It is I will speak. I shall speak to you. See verse 9. So likewise ye, except ye utter. So until you utter, until you utter by tongues words, until you, not until spirit. Yeah, until, so who is to utter? You are to utter. Yeah, who is to utter? Who is you that is to utter? Who is to give the utter? Is you that is to give? Is you that is to talk? It is he that speaketh, he that prophesied. Paul says, I will, I shall. If I shall profit. If I shall not, how shall I profit you? I shall, I will, we will. So to convert is I will. So you come for a believer's meeting. You see, oh, I'm going to edify you. Yeah, I'm going to edify you. Give yourself the tongues and just flow. Pravos keep on the voice in the four pro kita and the voice keep on up day. Yeah, you've just given expression to tongues. Yeah, tongues is that in inherent language of the man that believes the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. Verse 13, wherefore let him that speaketh. It didn't say, wherefore let him that the Spirit of God speaketh for. No, let him. So, tongues is when you speak. Tongue is something you say. It is from your mouth we hear it. Yeah, tongues is from your mouth. Interpretation is from your mouth, from your lips. Yeah, it is through your lips. Let me say better. It is through your lips we hear. So, wherefore let him that speaketh in tongues pray that he may interpret. It didn't say pray for the interpretation. Hey, the word there pray means to desire. You see, the word there pray is a word that doesn't always speak about prayer point or prayer. Yeah, yeah. We've explained that a couple of times. You know, like for instance, in Romans chapter 8, when it says, likewise, the Spirit also appeared at infirmity, for we know not what we should pray. That you see pray in a verse doesn't mean speaking now about prayer. So when it says 26, likewise, the Spirit also appeared at infirmity, for we know not what we should pray as we ought to. It's not saying, but the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hold on. The Spirit maketh intercession. So the Spirit itself is actually the Spirit himself. Yeah, the Spirit is not it, is a himself, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hold on. Paul says, when you want to speak, what do? You speak. So this common theory nullifies the knowledge of Romans 8:26 as tongues. So a lot of people use this verse for tongues. Yeah. So well, you know, they say, you know, for we don't know what we should pray as we ought to, but the Spirit make intercession for us. That's a makarabozo koto koto. Ah, but I thought you said with groanings which cannot be uttered. But you are talking. He says it cannot be uttered, but you are uttering something. Do you see that? Yeah. So, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So it means that tongues is an utterance. So it cannot be tongues in verse 26. Yeah, lay your hands on that teaching. Yeah, yeah, speaking about the new birth, the new creation, resurrection of the saints. Yeah, so we're in 1 Corinthians 14. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at chapter 14 again. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh. So you can say, let him that uttereth. Or let him whose mouth flows utterance. Or let him who gives his lips and his tongue to utterance. Yeah, in tongues. Pray that he may interpret. It didn't say pray for interpretation. No, the word they pray is to desire that he may interpret. Desire that he may interpret. Desire, not make it a prayer point. Yeah, desire that he may interpret. Yeah, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongues, my what? Spirit what? Prayeth. My spirit what? Prayeth. If I. So chapter 14 is about I and utterance. I am speaking. We are speaking. He are speaking. We, them, us are speaking. Look at verse 14. I pray, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? I will. Yeah, I will pray with my spirit. So I will pray with the spirit if I will pray in tongues. I will pray in tongues is I will pray in the Holy Ghost. I will pray in the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. Yeah, so the same I will Paul will use for pray with the spirit is the same I will Paul use for understanding. So I will pray with the understanding, or I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. It says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray. Or you see, you can either use, you know, desire to interpret, or look for interpret, or pray the interpretation. Yeah? That might just be, you know, a better way to see that. So I will pray with my spirit, I will pray the interpretation. I will sing in my spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned? The word the unlearned, we looked at is idiotis. Yeah, that one who is not schooled concerning a matter. Now, let's look at verse 20. Look at verse 17. For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. So what is giving thanks well? Is speaking in tongues. What is giving thanks well? Is blessing the Lord with the Spirit. Look at verse 18. I thank my God that speak with tongues when I hear all, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also. Now look at verse 20. It says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Hello. Yeah. To receive God's word, you know, Jesus will say, have the heart of the children, have the heart of a child. Yeah, Peter will say, like newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of God's word. What did Paul tell you? In understanding, be not children. How be it in malice, be ye children. See, don't be a child in understanding and be an adult and be an adult in malice. You know, adult in malice will not be figure of speech of, you know, wanting to always have your way. You know, and all of those things. Yeah. So, but he says what? In understanding, be men. In understanding, be men. In understanding, be men. In the law, it is written. What is the law? Yeah, don't fall for that trap again. Remember, we explained that on Sunday. Yeah, in the law is not the law, ten commandments. It's not the writings of Moses. In the law, it is written. We saw where that was written from. Yeah, what was written in the law? With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet, for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So, people with a common source or people that have a commonality come together. Paul now says what? With the men or with the tongues or with other tongues and other lips will I speak. So, a believer is to have an understanding about the matter of speaking in tongues. Paul already told us in verse 20, be men in understanding. Yeah. So, it means that, excuse me. So, it means that as a believer, there is nothing to be proud about in being ignorant. There is nothing glamorous about an ignorant believer. Yeah? He says, verse 21, Paul is quoting the law. That's Isaiah. So where did Peter teach tongues and interpretation from? He quoted the law. That's Joel. Where is Paul teaching tongues and interpretation from? He's quoting the law. That is Isaiah. So Paul is teaching tongues and interpretation from the writings of the prophets. Yeah, what did Paul tell us from Joel's writing is the end goal. For they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So in as much as tongues is a sign that Jesus says we follow, it is a sign that points to something. Are we together? Tongues is a sign that points to something. So when you take the writings together, you can qualify the, you know, the law in the context to be Genesis to Malachi, like we said. Yeah, because we quoted from Isaiah. So where is Paul teaching from? Isaiah 28, run there. Isaiah 28, run there quickly. Isaiah 28, verse 11. Isaiah 8:11. Run there quickly. Let's pay attention to a few things here. Look at Isaiah 28 verse 11. Remember, we are reading 1 Corinthians 14. Yeah? Isaiah 28, 11. If you have a phone with you or a different Bible, you can open Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. Yeah? And let's open 1 Corinthians 14 on the other hand. Look at Isaiah 28. It says, For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Who is talking? Isaiah as an utterance is giving an utterance. Or Isaiah as a prophet is giving an utterance. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give thee rest. What did he say will happen in verse 11? Tongues. With tongues will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. Hold on. So Paul did not come up with the idea of tongues. Peter did not come up with the idea of tongues. Peter and Paul, tongues and interpretation preceded them. It was prophesied before them. Together, Peter, before he came, Joel had prophesied. Peter just took Joel's writing to explain. Paul, before he came, Isaiah prophesied. Paul just picked Isaiah's writing to explain. So in the writings of the prophet, we see tongues. Remember, we can teach all we stand for as saints from Genesis to Malachi alone. Hold on. To whom he said, this is the rest. What would be this is the rest? Wherein ye may cause the weary to rest. Hold on. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Look at it. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 14. Remember, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21, the only reason why we can easily trace it, yeah, to trace that Paul is teaching from the scriptures is where it is, he said it is written in the law. With men of another tongues, with other tongues, if you read Isaiah 28, it says with other tongues, yes, look at it. It says, with men of other tongues or with tongues and other lips, yeah, will I speak unto these people? And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign. What did Jesus say? This sign shall follow. So tongues is a sign. So tongue is a sign that points to something. Yeah, remember, what did Jesus ask them to preach? He asked them to go and preach the gospel. What did he say shall follow? This sign shall follow. So tongues is a sign that follows the preaching, or tongue is a sign that follows believing the gospel. Remember in our teaching on Bible seminar, we said that signs are things that point towards a future event or points towards an event that has happened. Yeah, so wherefore tongues are for signs, verse 22, not to them that believe. It is not to a sign to you. No, so wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but tongues are a sign for them that believe. Let me say that again. Tongues is a sign for them. Yeah, it is not to, it is a sign that will follow them that believe. Yeah, but it is to them that believe not. So, when Paul was teaching in Corinth, he expected them to go back to Isaiah. So, in 1 Corinthians 14, you will not see this is rest. Yeah? But in 1 Corinthians 14, you will see that with other tongues, other lips, yet they will not hear me. So, there's a part that Paul doesn't quote from Isaiah. Look at Isaiah again. Go back to Isaiah quickly. Yeah, just hold your hands there. Go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. What Isaiah says, for with stammering lips and another tongue. What did Paul say? For with other with the tongues of men and what other lips? Yeah. What did Paul? What did Isaiah call Paul's other lips? Stammering lips. Figure of speech. For with stammering lips and another tongue, will God speak to His people, or will He speak to His people? Yeah. There's a part that Isaiah wrote that Paul did not write. He says, verse, I see Isaiah. Verse 12, to whom he said, this is rest. This is rest. Remember, what are tongues? Tongues are for a sign. What did Isaiah say that will be said, or that he said? This is rest. This is rest. This is rest. Remember, Paul tells you in understanding the men. So in understanding the men, by implication, from Isaiah, we are to go back and see what Isaiah was saying. So from Isaiah, what is Isaiah saying? Verse 11, look at it again. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is rest. So from Isaiah, it means that when you begin to see people speak in tongues, or you hear men speak in tongues or talk in tongues, God is saying, I am speaking. So in the speaking in tongues of men, God is speaking. It doesn't mean that God's mouth is moving, but the lips of men are speaking. So the lips of a man is speaking, but God is saying something. God is saying something. What is God saying? This is rest. What is God saying? So behind every fundamental tongue that is spoken, there's a fundamental message. This is rest. This is rest. This is rest. What did Paul do? What did Peter do? Peter in Acts chapter 2 verse 21 explained tongues and ended in, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What was Peter teaching? Peter was teaching that to be a partaker of this, you have to enter into rest. In entering into rest, it is by calling the name of the Lord. In calling the name of the Lord, you shall see that which you see, for it is a sign. So the main message, or the main message behind tongues, is this is rest. Look at it again. To whom he said. So when you speak in tongues, may prophet shiketa nanda bose froko topo. Yeah, what you heard was me speaking tongues. But behind that is a fundamental message. This is the rest. Where it ye cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. So tongues is rest and is refreshing. So what is tongues and interpretation? Or let's stick with tongues, yeah? Let's stick with the first part, tongues. Yeah, so tongues, it says, for with stammering lips and another tongues will he speak. Yeah, to these people. What did Paul tell you? He says, okay, in fact, the same thing Paul told us, we see it in verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest where which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. What happens at the end of the go? Yet they would not hear. Hold on. In Acts 2, they spoke in tongues. It was a sign to those who did not believe. Paul tells you, tongues are not a sign for those who believe, but a sign from those who believe to those who don't believe. So in Acts 2, some people spoke in tongues. Some people who do not believe were mocking. In the real sense of seeing them speak in tongues, what is God saying? This is rest. This is rest. This is refreshing. Well, how do we know that that is the message? Isaiah told us, yet they would not hear. They would not hear. They would not hear. So, tongues has a fundamental message. What is that? This is rest. Tongues has a fundamental, basic fundamental language. This is what? This is rest. This is refreshing. So, in speaking in tongues, God is saying something. There is a message behind the tongues. So, when you see a believer speak in tongues, there is a message. There is always a message. There is always a message. A fundamental message of what? This is rest. The main message of what? This is refreshing. What is Peter saying? Call upon the name of the Lord and enter into rest. In entering into rest, you will be a partaker of what you see as signs for others who have not entered into rest. So tongues as a fundamental message, this is rest. So in the, you can say tongues is rest and refreshing, put into vocals. Abroforsken and aboshkita frakata posin and aval. Yeah, so what you can say, this is rest. This is refreshing. Yeah, Hebrews 4 tells you the man that what has what believed the gospel has entered into rest. So for the man that speaks in tongues, speaking and mingling in the midst of what rest and tongues. I've said that again. Look at it. For a man that speaks in tongues, he is speaking and just what playing around in the midst amidst rest, amidst refreshing. Yeah, so a man that speaks in tongues, we that believe the gospel, we have entered into rest. Rest now lives in us. We are a rest, rest is in us. Yeah, come unto me, those of you that are heavy laden, labor and heavy laden, and I will give you. We have received rest. We have entered into rest by receiving rest. What? How do you do that? By believing the gospel. How do you do that? By being baptized. So when you see one speaking tongues, so when you speak in tongues, they said it is. You can say, ah, that is a man giving vocal expression to the rest and refreshing of God. that is one giving vocal expression to God's fundamental message. This is rest. So when you speak in tongues, yeah, you are like that man. You are that man speaking the language of rest, the language of refreshing, the language of rest. This is rest. This is refreshing. You are in the midst, mingling, permutating, enjoying yourself in rest. Hallelujah. Yeah, so God is fundamentally behind it. Why? Because there's a message behind of this is rest. What happens to people when they see the sign? That sign is to point them to the message. What did Isaiah say? Yet they would not hear. Yet they would not hear. Yet they would not hear. Yeah. What did Paul say? Yet they will not hear. So we call upon the name, that is, we have received his resurrection, that is, we have his rest. So when I speak in tongues, when you speak in tongues, it's like, for those of us that grew up in houses where you have what you call wells. Yeah, you have a well that has water. What do? You throw a bucket inside and bring out water. That's like tongues. Yeah, you throw a water into the water of the spirit. Yeah, that's figurative. Yeah, that's figurative. So it's like dipping your bucket into that well. Yeah, the Yoruba, the Greek word is conga. Yeah, you dip your water, your bucket into that well and bring it out. Yeah, so you are dipping a bucket into the well and pouring out. What are you pouring out? God's message. This is rest. This is refreshing. This is rest. This is refreshing. So it's eternal life that we receive has a vocal ability. Did you get that? Eternal life has a vocal ability in the believer. How do we know? Jesus told us, he that believe, this sign shall follow, they shall speak. So there's a vocal ability in the believer. That vocal ability is you speaking, that is fundamentally having a message of this is rest, this is refreshing. That is why it is not a sign to you. It is for them to see that this is rest. Come into rest, come into refreshing. But what happened? They are not hearing. Yeah, so who is speaking when it's time for tongues? It is what? The man that is speaking. In the real sense, there's a message that God is saying. So we can enjoy of that rest in a vocal way. We can enjoy of God's refreshing in a vocal way by the vocal ability we already have. Hallelujah. So we can really say speaking in tongues is a language of rest. Are we together? Speaking in tongues is a language. So how do we know you have entered into rest? See, that is why as a saint, no matter what comes your way, what do? You praise God for care and abosukatan avosake. What are you doing? You are giving expression. You are giving a vocal expression to the rest in you. Paul tells you, before we came back to Isaiah, Paul already warned you, hello, be men in understanding. Eh? Do not be children in understanding. No, be men, no. Be men, no. Yeah, be men. So he now took it back here. He says that to whom he said, this is rest. Yeah, this is rest. So when you how do we see it as a sign? So verse 11, stammering lips and other tongues is a sign in which God is speaking to his people with. Is stammering lips and tongues the message? No. There are signs that point to the message. So when a believer is talking in tongues, is cooperating with rest. Yeah, it's like I said, he's giving a vocal expression or he's taking from his vocal ability, giving it vocal expression or expressing himself vocally what rest is. So what is my path? I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'm not a mocker. I'm going to give vocal expression to rest in me. So at the time of Isaiah, yeah, if Isaiah sees us right now, yeah, speaking in tongues, what will he say? Or Isaiah's people. The people of Isaiah, they'll be looking at us now. They'll say, that is rest. That is the message. That is refreshing. Remember, the goal of every sign is the message. Yeah, we don't stop at the signs. We stop at the message. We are not asked to preach signs. Yeah, we are not asked to go and preach signs. We are asked to preach the gospel. Tongues is a sign. Healing is a sign that points to the gospel. But healing is not the message of the gospel. Yeah, tongues is not the message of the gospel. There are signs that are to point your attention. How do we know? He says, yet they will not hear. Hallelujah. So for everyone listening to me that you have received the Holy Ghost, yeah, in case you don't know, let me say this. For everyone listening to me who has believed the gospel, you have received the Holy Ghost. You might not know. Yeah, not everybody knows. See, there are a lot of people who have believed the gospel, yet they are saying they are waiting for the Holy Ghost to come inside or come upon them. Yeah, so for everyone who has received salvation, he has received the Holy Ghost. For everyone who has received the Holy Ghost, he has received an ability of the Holy Ghost. For everyone who has received an ability of the Holy Ghost, he is one who can give expressions to the ability. That's why you look at it. When you want to heal the sick, look at people who heal the sick. What do they do? They lift their hands and lay their hands. Glory to God. Yeah, there's a message behind their laying of hands. Yeah, but they are healing. Healing is a sign that points to the message that God heals, that God heals, that God heals, that God heals. So, tongues is an ability that you've received upon redemption. Tongues is an ability that comes with the resurrection. Tongues is an ability that comes it's an ability that comes with rest. So, when you speak in tongues, you are giving expression, or tongues is an expression of salvation as rest, as refreshing. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. So, there's a speaking behind what you are speaking. Yeah, but they are not hearing. So what does that mean? What you are speaking is tongues. It is a sign, and it's a sign that points to the message. What is the message? It is the message they are to hear. That's why Paul did not end at what Joel said when he said, "What my sons and daughters shall prophesy, they shall see visions." He went further and said, "And those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved." That is the end goal of signs. Signs are not the deal. It's not the big deal. It's not the big deal, but it is a sign. It is a pointer. It is a pointer that there's something deeper. There's something greater. Hallelujah. So the rest that produces tongues produces interpretation. Yeah, in the reason why? Because it is the same rest you've entered. That inside that rest, which is you have the seal of the Holy Ghost, which is you have the gifts of the Holy Ghost in what is what being said. So it means that when you are speaking in tongues, Paul says you are speaking unto God. In the real sense, God has a message. That means what God is saying can be understandable. So it means that when you speak in tongues and you interpret it, or interpretation of tongues is bringing to the foreknowledge of man that which God wants to say per time or in a given time. However, there is a fundamental message. God is saying, this is the rest. This is refreshing. Hallelujah. So there's a speaking. There are those who will not hear. There's a message. There are those who will not hear. They will not hear that the Lord is a giver of rest. What are they not hearing? They are not hearing. They are not believing. They are not reckoning or acknowledging. Yeah. So what is tongues? So when you see a believer, or when an unbeliever sees a believer speaking in tongues, what is that? There's a message behind it. It means that this which you see is available for you. Paul tells you, go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. He says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. How do we know? Who did Peter rise up to start teaching? He started teaching those who were onlookers. Most likely those who participated in the 120 days, in Acts 2:4, they attended Jesus' 40 days teaching. So what is the end goal of tongues as a sign? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the message behind tongues, when you speak tongues, is what? Fundamentally, God supplies rest. God supplies refreshing. God supplies rest. That's the message. So when you see someone speaking tongues, it is a sign that God gives rest. Tongues is a sign of rest. Tongue is a sign of refreshing. Tongue is a proof, is a sign of the message of rest. Tongue is a sign that you've received rest. So the giver of rest is the giver of the vocal ability in the rest. Paul tells you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to all to profit with her. So we are believers that are already found in rest. We have the ability to vocalize rest. We have the ability to give expression, vocal expressions to rest. So there will be people who will not agree with what you are being saying or what you are saying. But in the real sense, people who don't agree with what you are saying in the real sense is a sign to them. However, there's a message. So a lot of times, you might want to bring back their attention to the message like Peter did, Acts 2:21. Yeah? Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you might have to bring back their attention to the message. In fact, go back to Acts 2. Let me show you something. Look at Acts 2. In Acts 2:4, what happened? They were filled. They spoke. In Acts 2:11, what happened? People said, we hear our tongues, wonderful works of God. In Acts 2:12, what happened? They were asking in doubt, what means is this? In Acts 2:13, what happened? They were mocking. These men are full of wine. In Acts 2:14, what happened? Peter stood up to explain what was happening. Let me now tell you what Peter did. After Peter spoke about prophecy, everything, what did he say? 21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel of foreknowledge of God, ye have taken up by wicked hands, you have crucified him, whom God had raised up. Is that the gospel? Yes! That's the gospel! That's the gospel! Whom God had raised up. So, Peter did not start saying, you see the signs. Peter did not make the sign message. The sign pointed their attention, or Peter pointed the attention of the onlookers to the sign, toward the sign to point them to the message. What you see is a sign. Joel prophesied about this sign, but your attention should be on the message. What is the message? He now says, ye men of Judah, hear these words. Whom you killed, God had raised up. For he now went back to David. Yeah, verse 25. He now says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Yeah, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Nevertheless, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Yeah, because thou will not leave my soul in hell. So he started preaching about the work of resurrection. He said, you see, the tongues are signed. He started using tongues as signs to point their attention to the resurrection, the risen one, the one who is alive, who God raised up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. So when tongues is going forth, there is a message of the gospel going along. See, what did Jesus say they should go and preach? Go and preach the gospel. What did he say will follow? Signs will follow. What are the signs? They shall cast out devils, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall speak with new tongues. So the reason why tongue is rest is because it is a language of rest in itself. It is a language. So see, everything I'm saying is this. Tongues is a language of the resurrection. Yeah, let me bring it home. Yeah, tongues is the language of the resurrection. So when you see Moses wrote about God rested on the seventh day. Yeah, Moses used the ideology of their culture to teach about the rest that is found in God. What was Moses really teaching? When you believe, you will enter into God's rest. And there's a vocal ability. Yeah, because in the real sense, Joel was a student of Moses. Isaiah was a student of Moses. Hallelujah. So, you see, that's why when you speak in tongues, you realize that it takes your mind off worries. It takes your mind off anxiety. Yeah, it takes your mind off earthly systems for a while in the real sense. Tongues doesn't renew your mind though, you know. When you see speaking tongues and worry and anxiety goes away. What will cure worry and anxiety is the word though. Tongues. See, when you finish speaking in tongues, when you come back, the worry and anxiety might still come back. What you use to tackle worry and anxiety is not, tongue is not used to tackle worry and anxiety. Are we together? That's why, you know, a better understanding of Philippians 4, Philippians 4. Yeah, look at it. See, Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Dear saints, what tackles worry is not the prayer. Yeah, prayer can only put your mind at rest or in check for that moment. In that moment. Yeah. But what deals with, look at Romans 12. What deals with that which brings worry to your mind? It is Romans 12. Renew your mind. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, yeah? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, tongues doesn't renew your mind. Yeah? It's always very difficult to speak in tongues and think of the words of this world. But once you come down from that mountain of tongues, hallelujah. Yeah, what keeps you going constantly, perpetually? It is the word of God. See, you and I know a lot of times when things go haywire, or when things go, south, what we call south, the first thing that comes to your mind is tongues. Why? Because you've experienced before that tongues bring some kind of rest to you. You know why? Because tongues is a sign of rest. Tongues is an ability in rest. It is an ability of rest. Yeah, so when you see, you've applied to 20 jobs, you got none of them. You've applied to for a visa, they've bounced you 3 times. Yeah, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You pray in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, what happens? It brings to your full consciousness at that moment, takes your attention from the worries, and puts your attention on rest. It's an expression of rest. Are we together? Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. So Paul told us, Isaiah told us, there is a message. This is rest. This is rest. Yeah, so rest is something that you've received. Giving expression to rest is speaking in tongues. Yeah, see, you might not have understood what is happening at the instant, at that instant rather. You might not have understood why things are going away or against your favor. Yeah, you might not have, but there's something called rest in you. There's something called rest in you. What do? You activate that button of rest. What do? You pray in the Holy Ghost, Mavroke, Sapoken, and about Sheketa, Interfroke, Pause, Ken, and Avashow. By doing that, you are keeping your eyes or your mind stayed and fixed in tongues, or in rest rather. Yeah, you are keeping your eyes, your mind, your sense, usually, in you're keeping it stayed, fixed on rest. Why? Because you're expressing rest, you are expressing refreshing, you are giving room to refreshing, you are giving room to rest. Yeah, so if I want to renew my mind, what do? You go to the word. So look at it this way. Yeah, see it this way. When you are in a tight corner, when you have things going against you, what do? You speak in tongues. Yeah, what will keep your mind going is your renewal. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You are in a state where you want to transform your mind or transform the state of your mind. Yeah, how do you renew it? Yeah, you renew it by the word of God. Yeah, you renew it. It says by the mercies of God, accept that your bodies are, or accept your bodies are a living sacrifice. Yeah. Yeah. So it is the word that brings refreshing. Tongues put your attention on rest, put your attention on refreshing, but the word renews your mind. Yeah, the word renews your mind. The word, you see, when you speak in tongues, what happens? It overwhelms your being. Yeah, that's why when you pray in tongues, you pray loud. Oh, see, I am yet to experience a time where I have different things going on in my life, or I have so many things I'm looking forward to, and I pray in tongues loud, and I don't have a refreshing felt. And I don't have a rest. I don't feel at rest. There's not a single time. Yeah, so what do? I take my car away. I put my car away, far from civilization. Maybe along one road that is not tired, or along one road or one express. Park my car beside the road. Put on my AC. One up my glass. I'm blasting tongues. Yeah, there is never a time that it will not overwhelm your being. You cannot successfully pray in tongues loudly, and you still put your attention on the cares and affections of this world. Yeah, your thoughts, at that point, your thoughts your thoughts are being channeled towards rest. Glory to God. Glory to God. So if I want to keep my heart stayed on rest, I speak in tongues. Yeah. If I want to renew my mind, I go to the word. Yeah. So if I want to throw a last punch at the devil, what do? I speak in tongues and go to the word. So I am speaking in tongues in the word. I am with the word, by the word, in the word, through the word, for the word, by the word, never against the word. I'm speaking. That is final blow below the belt. Hallelujah. See, you cannot renew your mind by speaking in tongues. You and I know. Yeah, you cannot renew your mind by speaking in tongues. Spiritual growth only occurs when your mind is renewed. That spiritual growth, yeah. See, if you speak in tongues from now till next year, yeah, you've not grown spiritually, No, you will not understand. Explain scriptures. You might not walk in love yet more and more. But how do you renew your mind? Yeah, how do you renew your mind? With what you call spiritual growth. By what? Fixing your heart on the word. So at the time, your mind is thinking of 305 different things you need to do. Yeah, what happens? And you feel like you cannot do them. It looks like they're impossible. What do you? You pray in the Holy Ghost. Point your attention to that which is rest. Point your attention to the rest you already have. So while you are renewing your mind, there's an already existing rest on your inside. So you renew your mind. That renew your mind is renew your mind concerning the rest you've already received. Then when you pray in tongues, you are giving expression to the rest that you already received. Hallelujah. Think about it. That's why fundamentally, to all the other expressions of the gift of the Spirit, tongues is fundamental. I'm not talking about it. A lot of you, when you're going out to heal the sick, when you're going out for evangelism, what happens? Yeah, you pray in tongues, now you pray. Yeah, tongues doesn't give you the ability or the power to heal. It is already there. Peter was going into the temple at the hour of prayer to pray. Then he saw the man that is lame at the gate of beautiful and said, what? Look at me, what I have, I give to you. Yeah, they were going to pray. They were not coming from prayer. They were going to pray. What does tongues do? Tongues does not give the ability of the of healing, or God doesn't give the power to heal. It only awakens your consciousness a lot of times. Why? Because your heart is fixed on that. Let's end in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. In the law. So in the law is not righteousness of Moses. It's not the Ten Commandments. What? Qualified as Genesis to Malachi. Context we read in Isaiah. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak. What did Isaiah say about lips? He says stammering lips. Unto these people. And yet for all that they will or all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. So what is they will not hear me? That is hardness of heart. You see that? So it means that when tongues is spoken, there's a message behind. Not hearing the message behind is what? They will not hear me. That is what? The heart is hardened. Are we together? You know, after Peter preached, what happened? 3,000 of them chose not to harden their heart. 3,000 of them were saved. 3,000 souls were added. Yeah? So it means that 3,000 souls entered into the arrest. By doing that, they had a vocal ability in them that they could give expression to rest. Hallelujah. So look at verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Mark 16. This sign shall follow. So for the believer, what we know is we have rest. We have refreshing. For the unbeliever, what do they need to know? They need to know that come and partake of this rest, of this refreshing. How can they be a partaker of rest? You have to go and preach. In going to preach, they will see signs. The sign is to point them to the gospel, the message. You will not go and meet somebody as an unbeliever and speaking in tongues. In the reason is when he speaks in tongues that you now see that, oh, he's to see. He is to see. And you are to give expression. Yeah, by what? The fundamental goal. Preach the gospel. So when you meet an unbeliever, you will not be speaking in tongues. I tie my shoe, I shoot my lace. I tie my lace, I lose my shoe. Yeah, but under your breath, you can be speaking in tongues while you approach. Hallelujah. Yeah, because tongues has a way of creating an awareness in you. Oh, glory to God. It has a way of creating an awareness, just the same way we explain it as rest. Yeah, so it is not adding anything extra to what you already have. You already have rest, but tongues keeps your mind stayed. Like I said, it is difficult to speak in tongues, pray in tongues, and you have your mind wandering. Yeah, so look at them too. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Why? Because the reality is that we have rest. We have believed the gospel. We have been baptized. So tongues are a sign signifying that the guy speaking in tongues has rest. He has refreshing. He is the temple of God. God dwells there. He is rest. He has his rest. So we explain the signs in the preaching of the gospel. Yeah, but there are men who will not accept it. That's why it tells you. See, they will not hear. See verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, And all speak with tongues. So a church is to be a place where all come together and speak in tongues. In Acts chapter 2, there was no record of one who attended the teaching meeting, the prayer meeting, and did not speak in tongues. So tongues is for all. It's for everyone. So the sign came to them. They did not hear. Those are the onlookers, the unbelievers. Yet after Peter now preached the gospel, they now believed the gospel. How together? Are we together? So the message is given, they will not hear. As Hebrew tells us, he says that do not harden your heart like those ones who the gospel was preached. For as the gospel was preached unto them, it was preached unto us. They saw signs. Yeah, we people now see signs in our days. It points to the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, no matter what happens, when you find yourself in difficult situations, submit yourself to rest. Give expression to rest in you. For in doing that, you see that you have your mind stayed and fixed on that which you've received upon the resurrection. You are giving expression to that the resurrection power you already have. It's a vocal ability in you. Give expressions to it. Paul says, he says, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues, either in doctrine, in your knowledge, in your understanding. He says, in your understanding, be men. Hallelujah. So when a man speaks in tongues, yeah, other men can behold the wonderful works of God. Yeah, that's what you have seen in Acts 2. Yeah, yeah, by interpretation, by extension. But in the fundamental case, the rest of God is the message behind. The fatherhood of God, the indwelling of the Spirit, that's the rest of God. Yeah, are we together? Are we together? Oh, glory to God. As for upon and about sheep rock if it's a pecan, in pon and about sheep can and about sheep rock tap tap say. In monocapo is a pro kitavosh, ikatana vos, e pro kotavo ketavada. Yeah, what did I just do? I just spoke in tongues. Yeah, fundamentally, what's the message behind that? It is that this is rest. Oh, this is refreshing. Oh, let me give an interpretation to that. Yeah. You are that man, you are that lady who is born of God. You are that man full of the Spirit of God. You are that man that has the fullness of God in him. You are that man that can give expression and manifest the things of the Spirit. Pay attention to the indwelling Spirit in you. Pay attention to the fatherhood of God in you, for you are his child. Yeah, he is your father. Yeah, he lives in you. You house him. You are his house. You are his house. You house him. So do well to pay attention to that which you've received. For in receiving the gospel, you've received rest. In receiving the gospel, you are a partaker of God's rest. In receiving the gospel, you have received of the supply of rest that God gives. So do well to pay attention to that. For in that there are abilities. Oh yes, there are abilities in that. There are abilities in rest. In the kingdom of rest, God gives an ability. God supplies rest, and in the rest he supplies, there's an ability. So do well to pay attention to that ability. For you see, in doing that, your heart is stayed and fixed on that which God will want you to do. Or that which God will want you to do. For you will pronounce care for call, into town pro gish for call, is called pro kotan and avasikita. E prone and avasikita, pone and yes, you will behold yet more and more and recognize and acknowledge that which God has put in you, which is the ability, that which God has put in you, which is the Spirit, that which God has made you, which is you being his child. You will pay attention to these things, and you will not be children, or you will not be like a child in understanding these things. You are one who will give yourself to sound doctrine and be a man in understanding. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I love you all dearly. I love you all dearly. I love you all dearly. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Cheers.